the absolute power of Jesus. The significance of the fourth sign in the Gospel of John is that Jesus is able not only to give life, but to sustain the life that he gives. This is the only miracle of Jesus, apart from the resurrection, that is recorded in all four gospel accounts. The scene is absolutely impossible in the eyes of men. But to Jesus, it is merely an opportunity to display his absolute power. He uses this occasion, brothers and sisters, to showcase his ability to overcome any and every situation. Walk with me around the text. They are out in this wilderness. They are out beyond the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has already healed a man on the Sabbath day in chapter 5 by telling him to rise, take up your bed, and walk. There was a nobleman's son who was at the point of death. And he came and found Jesus, and Jesus didn't even go home with him. He just spoke the word, and the boy was healed. He was at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, and an embarrassing situation arose when they ran out of wine, and Jesus told them to fill some ordinary water pots with ordinary water, and between the dipping and the sipping, it becomes extraordinary wine. Jesus is Lord over nature. He's Lord over creation. Jesus is not only Lord of life, but he can sustain the life that he creates. They are out in this desert place. And Jesus is on the other side of the lake, and the crowds are following him. The crowds are thronging him. He can't get any break. He can't get any rest. He has no surcease from the press of the crowd. I want you to get this. The Bible says the crowds are there not for the word, but for the miracle. What did you come here for? I wish I had somebody to help me preach. What motivated you to get up this morning to come to church? Are you here because God's been good to you? Or is there some ulterior motive, some reason to be seen, some hookup you want, some kind of in the back of your mind agenda that you have going on? Because if you came here for the wrong reason, God can't bless you. But if you woke up with your mind stayed on Jesus, and if you're here because you need God not only to give life, but to sustain the life that he gives, Jesus is available to make that happen. The crowds are pressing him. And Jesus has been talking and teaching them all day long. And in the middle of the day, he could have chosen that opportunity to raise the question, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? But Jesus waits, Mark says, until evening time. Matthew says the day is far spent. Jesus waits until all the HEBs are closed. And everybody is aware that something's got to happen. In the Gospel of Matthew, one of the disciples said, "Lord, send these people away. Let them go buy some food." Jesus said, "No, you feed them." But in John's Gospel, Jesus waits until the last minute to ask, "Where can we find bread to feed these people?" He asked Philip, "Philip, where can we buy bread?" It makes sense that Jesus would first ask Philip where they might purchase bread, since Philip was from nearby Bethsaida, and he would know where the local grocery stores were and what time they closed. The issue for Philip and the disciples is not a matter of where to buy bread, but how can we buy enough bread to feed all these people? The situation is hopeless. There are 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. It's an overwhelming situation. But brothers and sisters, hear me this morning. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. We who are followers of Jesus should always work at the level of our own inadequacy, so that if the Lord does not come through, we fail miserably. Let me see if I can make that make sense. Anything that you can do that does not require the Lord's help, you get the credit for it. But you need to undertake something that's so big that only God has to step in and turn it around for you. Wish I had a witness here. Well, let me see if I can put it this way. I need somebody who has been in an overwhelming situation. Your stuff almost took you under. You were so worried you couldn't sleep at night. You were so distressed that you were distracted on your job. You were so bothered that every time you turn around, what you had to face was right in your face, and it overwhelmed you almost to the point that you didn't want to pray. I'm not talking to some weak 90-pound Christian now. I'm talking to somebody who's been in the trenches with God, who's had some sleepless nights, some worrisome days. I wish I had two or three believers here. You've had some stuff to wake you up in the middle of the night and say, "Lord, if you don't come through, I don't know what I'm gonna do." Some child has broken your heart. Some relationship has stressed you to the limit. Some pain is almost more than you can bear. We see you on Sunday morning, but we have no idea what you're going through. You are in some overwhelming situation. You are between a rock and a hard place. But if that's your situation this morning, stay with me. Don't leave before the benediction. I've got some good news for you this morning. It's an overwhelming situation. There are over 20,000 people. It's dark. Stores are closed. There's nowhere to buy bread. Jesus asked Philip, "Where can we buy some bread to feed all these people?" Now, brothers and sisters, I'm trying to get through here. But if you think the disciples were befuddled, what do you think would be the situation if Jesus asked that question at Lily Grove. The first thing we would do would get a committee on bread. And then fight over who the bread committee chairperson is going to be. And then after we get that worked out, are we going to buy a wheat bread? A white bread? And after we get that worked out, are we going to get the bread from H-E-B? Are we going to get it from Randall's? And then the next question is, how much bread we going to give out? Because ain't you got some bread yesterday? Somebody ought to help me preach here. We analyze and analyze and analyze until our analyzing makes us paralyzed and we can't make any decision. Forget the committee on bread. Go buy some bread. Stop worrying about who gets the credit and buy the bread. An overwhelming situation. But that overwhelming situation is now met by an insufficient supply. Where can we buy bread to feed all these people? Philip said, all we have in our little treasury is 200 denarii. But it would take a year's wages to feed all these people. All we have is 200 denarii. That very word, 200, is a word that's mixed with something that doesn't work. Because when you read Joshua chapter 7, Achan had 200 shekels of silver that he stole from the Babylonians that caused there to be sin in the camp. And God destroyed Achan and his whole family because of the number 200. Absalom, in 2 Samuel, Absalom, David's son, was so handsome, the Bible says, there was not even a blemish on him. Absalom weighed his hair every day, and it weighed 200 shekels. But that very hair got caught in a tree and hung him because he betrayed his own father. 200 is insufficient. And everything they brought Jesus that day was insufficient. Andrew, in his naivete, Andrew is trying to fix an unfixable situation. Andrew meant well. Andrew had the right mindset. Andrew said, we can't buy no bread, but I know where we can get some. There's a little boy here, and he's got two fish and five barley loaves. And if Andrew had left it right there, he would have been the hero in the story. But he had to go a step further. He said, there's a boy here with two fish and five loaves. Andrew, shut up. That's enough. But no, Andrew was on the bread committee at Lily Grove. And so Andrew says, we have a bar here with two fish and five loaves, but what is that among so many? He gave a good bucket of milk and kicked it over. Because if he had left it at the supply, Jesus could work with that. But Andrew had to put Andrew in it and say, we got a bar here with two fish and five loaves. But that's not enough for so many. Jesus said, bring it to me. Now I want you to get this shout. Everything that day they brought to Jesus was not enough. Andrew did not find a grown man. He found a child and brought him to Jesus. And in Andrew's mind, that's not enough. The boy had some little sardines, some little salted fish. Two of them. Not enough. Five little barley loaves, little flat loaves of barley, what we would call today pita bread. And if the insufficiency does not need to be pressed further, barley is the bread of the poor. Rich people eat wheat. Poor folk ate barley bread. It was hard to digest. It was not of a good grain. It was not of a good quality. It was not the best bread. It's not enough. It's inadequate. It's insufficient. A boy, two fish, five loaves. I imagine his mama let him go to church that day. And the mama, being a mama, figured church might have lasted longer than it usually should have lasted. And so she packs him a sack lunch. Maybe the boy had eight fish and 10 loaves. But the choir sang so long, and the pastor preached so long, that boy got hungry, like little boys in church do, and started eating the little lunch his mother packed. Well, I don't know that I'm just putting that in there, because that could have happened, because if that had been me, I would have ate some of my lunch. And by the time Jesus needed it, all he had left was two fish and five loaves. I'm encouraged to tell somebody this morning, bring Jesus what you got left. Sometimes I'm tired, Lord. Bring that to Jesus. My heart is broken sometimes, Lord. Bring that to Jesus. My child won't speak to me. Bring that to Jesus. Lord, I'm running on empty. Bring that to Jesus. Lord, this is my last little money. Bring that to Jesus. Because somebody ought to help me testify. You ain't getting paid till Friday, but you don't have enough gas on Tuesday. God will let that car keep running till you get to your payday. I wish I had a witness here. God knows how to take a little and make it much, but you gotta put it in the master's hand. There's a boy here. Two fish, five little flat barley loaves. But what is that among so many? Jesus said, bring it to me. Have you any rivers that you think are uncrossable? Have you any mountains that you cannot tunnel through? God specialized. Have I got a witness? God specializes. God specializes in things that seem impossible. And he can do what no other power. He's a doctor in a sick room. He's a lawyer in a courtroom. He's a friend when you're friendless. I wish I had a witness. He's a burden bearer. He's a problem solver. He's a heavy load sharer. He will do it for you. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Tell somebody around you, I don't know what you're going through, but put it. Put what, Reverend? The choir sings it every once in a while. This and that. Whatever this is, whatever that is, put it in his hand. Stop worrying about it. Stop crying over it. Stop getting stressed out about it. Stop losing your hair over it. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm finished. But they brought it to Jesus. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Because if you can get that brother straight, if you can get that man to go to church, his wife will go to church. His children will go to church. I wish I had some man here to help me shout right here. I need a real man here who does not mind testifying that when God's been good to me, I don't care if you see me cry. I don't care if you see me raise my hand. I don't care if you see me in church giving God glory. I'm not too cool to tell God thank you. If you can shout for the Rockets, if you can shout for the Super Bowl, if you can shout for the Astros, who woke you up this morning? Lady, sister, don't marry no man who can't cry. He gonna make you cry. Don't marry no man who's too embarrassed to show emotion. No, when God's been good to me, I've got so many sins God has forgiven. I've got so many doors God has opened, and so many doors I need God to open. that I'm not going to get dressed on no Sunday morning and come all of this way to the house of God and sit down with my arms folded, because I don't want you to think that I'm not cool. If the Lord has kept you, you ought to say something. If God has made a way for you, you ought to say something. Let everything. That has breath. Praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He brought it to Jesus. Put it in his hand. And he gave thanks. He lifted it up. And gave thanks. And when he brought it down, R.C. Linsky says, the more he gave, the more he had to give. He gave, and he gave, and he gave, and he gave. And listen to what the text says. Everybody ate until they were satisfied. God won't stop blessing you until you're satisfied. Because God knows how to keep on giving and keep on giving and keep on giving and keep on giving, that you say, Lord, I asked you for this, but you gave me that. Now, when you learn how to show appreciation, and when you live with a heart of gratitude and a spirit of thanksgiving, God will just send stuff your way that you're not even looking for, because you're thankful over what he did the last time. It doesn't have to be new. It doesn't have to be fresh. It's just a blessing from God. Somebody here ought to help me testify. You know you made it on some stale bread. You know God kept you over some leftovers. You know God made a way when you had to wear some hand-me-downs. If God was good in your hand-me-down days, you ought to thank God in your Nordstrom days. If God was good in your hoopty days, you ought to thank God in your Mercedes days. If God was good in your project days, you ought to thank God in your 18,000 square foot house. I need somebody here who can help me testify. And you know where you came from. And you're not in here this morning trying to be bougie and act like you always had it like that. I need to talk to my black brothers and sisters in here this morning. I'm grateful to the Lord for the many of you who wore your HBCU paraphernalia. And for all of us who were blessed to rub our head upside the wall in a college classroom or in a dormitory. Thank God for that. But don't forget the nickels and dimes. These schools were built with quarters and dollars by poor people with no education. And now here we are with six-figure salaries, and our schools are about to lose their accreditation. Because we support the tailgate, but not the school. See how quiet you got right there? We support our fraternity and our sorority, but not the school that we were fraternity and sorority members of. See how quiet you got again. Didn't you hear Donald Trump insult us yesterday? Talking about the reason black folk are with him because of his mugshot. Maybe you didn't hear that fool. Well, go listen to it. He said black people are with him because of his mugshot. And he's selling these $399 tennis shoes. And he know black folk gonna buy it because Trump said black folk like tennis shoes. Black folk like mugshot. The racist nerve of him. I know a whole lot of people who've been to jail, but I know a whole lot more people who ain't been to jail. Just because you black don't mean you took a mugshot. I wish I had somebody to help me preach. The reason there is an AKA and a Delta Sigma Theta is because they would not let you in white fraternities and sororities. The reason there is a Grambling and a Southern is they wouldn't let you in LSU and Louisiana Tech. The reason there is a TSU is because they didn't want you at the University of Houston. Talk back to me if you can. God has brought us a mighty long way. And if anybody ought to be able to say, God, thank you that when I had a little bit, you kept me. But now that I got a lot, I want to bless your name. I'm through. They brought it to Jesus, and everybody ate and was satisfied. Then Jesus said to the disciples who did the distribution, gather up the fragments. The disciples who had been doing the feeding had not eaten. They were serving and they had not eaten. Jesus said, when everybody is finished and satisfied, your work is not finished yet. Gather up the fragments, the leftovers, so that nothing be lost. The disciples who had not eaten did what Jesus said, and when they got through gathering fragments, there were 12 baskets of food. You missed that. The people had a meal, but the disciples had a banquet. Because when you do what God says, He'll never let you go lacking. Twelve baskets of fragments. You might think Jesus was being kind of frugal by telling them to pick up the leftovers. Don't let anything be lost. The reason Jesus said that is from the Old Testament book of Ruth. It was the custom of the Jewish people to leave a little corn in the field so that the poor folk could glean. They always left a corner for the poor. I'm tempted to say something right here. Just like the bread committee would have met about feeding the hungry, there's a crowd of folk around here who would look at this corner analogy and say, you gonna kill that corner? There's a lot left in there. You want this corner? Because if you don't, I got it. That ain't the corner I'm talking about. You have to always make sure that when you count your blessing, you count somebody else in your blessing. Because if you always giving out, you ain't gonna lose nothing. God will see to it that it'll always come back to you. Have I got a witness here? And when Jesus got through feeding the multitude, and the disciples got their basket of fish and bread, the people would not leave the field without recognizing what just happened. Somebody said, surely. Somebody said, truly. This man must be a prophet. When God has been good to you, when God has made a way for you, don't just leave with your blessing in your hand. Don't just leave with God's goodness in your pocket. Stop in your tracks and say, surely. It was nobody who did this for me, but God himself. And when God has done something wonderful for you, you ought to make your way to God's house and not be ashamed to tell God, I thank you for all you've done for me. I praise you for your manifold blessings. I give you the glory for all you have wrought in my life. Is there anybody here this morning? Got a thank you in you. Is there anybody here this morning? Got a hallelujah you need to get rid of. Is there anybody here? Got a thank you, Jesus. You just can't wait to get out. Is there anybody here glad God came to your rescue? Glad God opened the door for you. I see you in the balcony. You can shout up there too. You can shout down over here to my left. I know God has been good to you. Don't act like you don't know who kept you. Don't act like you don't know who brought you. Don't act like you're embarrassed to tell God thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me. Thank you, Jesus, for the many ways you've made. Thank you, Jesus, for the many doors you've opened. Thank you, Jesus, for the many prayers you've answered. Thank you, Jesus, you've been my mother and my father, my sister and my brother. Thank you, Jesus, when my enemy tried to assail me, you put a fence all around me. Thank you, Jesus, you protected my children. You protected my family. Thank you, Jesus, when I was sick and couldn't get well, you were a doctor for me. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here? No, God's been good to you. If you're not ashamed to tell God thank you, if you're not embarrassed, if you don't mind, why don't you grab somebody? Tell them you don't know like I know. You can't tell it like I can tell it. Let me tell it what the Lord has done for me. He brought me. He kept me. He never left me. He dried my tears. He answered my prayers. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Say yeah. 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 I know he's all right. Hill called Calvary. He died, didn't he die? But early Sunday morning, he got up, didn't he get up? With all power in his hand, shake somebody's hand, tell them, surely, 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 surely. What you need, God's got it. What you want, God's got it. Won't he do it? I know he's all right. It matters not. It matters not what you have left. Just bring it to Jesus.